The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bond.
Ah, you're awful.
And AJ Applegar.
It's a mouthful.
Right, right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, my co-host, AJ Albuquerque. What's up, man? Thanks for cutting me off.
Yeah.
You're like my five-year-old. That's cool.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Heady effing brew. And I'm feeling it. Oh, yeah.
Of what?
This heady effing brew.
All right. Well, we will get to that, I suppose. So right now we are watching the thriller of a game, Broncos and Browns. Browns are winning 10-0. Yeah, it's not great. The Browns got off to a fairly hot start early. They scored on their very first drive. I believe it was D'Ernest Johnson. And then since then, it's just been kind of nothing from both sides, unfortunately. So, yeah, that's when we kind of knew it wasn't going to be pretty. We'll get into some of, you know, all these injuries for the Browns soon. But, you know, I kind of thought the Broncos were really going to dominate this game a little bit more than they did, just because I didn't think the Browns offense was going to be able to move the ball. They were early and now they can't, but the Broncos offense just can't do anything. You know, the Browns defense is good. So I guess, you know, that's just what's going on.
I kind of figured this was going to be a little bit more of a defensive battle. I actually ended up going back to playing the Broncos defense because of all the injuries that are facing Cleveland. So, yeah, I figured it was a decent shot to go with. And, of course, they're down 10 points. But, yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, not horrible, I suppose.
I will take that.
All right, man. So tonight we're going to be talking about these Browns injuries and just what it means moving forward, unfortunately. The Watson trade rumors, which are picking up. And then all this bye week, you know, craziness is going on this week. And just – then kind of that leads into some of these, you know, a lot of trade discussion that we've been, Twitter is going crazy with trade discussions and just what you should and shouldn't be doing with that, and you know, maybe some buy and sells. Before we jump into all that, though, let's do our beer of the week.
Beer.
What you got, man?
Well, I am drinking. I was going to get really dark, but I'm not going to do that.
I'm drinking the
Stone Anniversary 25 Triple IPA. And got to go ahead and just show the little capper is the little head of the Stone guy here. 12.5%er. Feel like I'm drinking all 25 years worth of beer.
Wait, what percent is it?
12.5.
Damn.
Yeah. It's yeah, there's like a whole story on it. I'm not going to read that because I'm slow at reading and I'll drone.
You're
on
slow at a lot of things. It's okay.
So,
yeah. All right. I will have to go find that. So I'm drinking something you brought over this past weekend that I, you know, kept in the fridge. Blue Earl Brewing, That's Hip Hazy IPA, 7.4. I think it says it's from Delaware.
Yeah,
somewhere in Delaware.
Smyrna.
Dude, the writing on the Delaware is like that big. It's like I can't read it. So, I already have contacts and glasses, but that's still way too small. Anyway, I have not tried it yet, so let's see. Ooh, very fruity. That's for sure. Yep. Very hazy. I enjoy this, man. I'm gonna give this a 4.25. This is solid stuff, man. I like it. I like it a lot. Thank you for this one.
Man, I hope some of the people watching know understand what we're doing there.
What we're about to do. A whole lot of trailing off.
That's gonna be you more of you than me, that's for damn sure. This is only a 7.4. I don't have a 12er. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
That one's my backup.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Let's bring in our guest for the week, Mr. Davis Peng, writer for Fantasy Six Pack, does our mainly our best ball stuff and is very good at it. And I also got to mention, man, your Twitter videos are phenomenal. If you guys don't follow him on Twitter, you definitely should. Peng's Picks. The videos alone are worth it. They are gold.
they've been taking off a lot better than I had thought.
Man. I had forgotten about the Squid Games on Netflix until you posted that video, and I was like, "Oh, I got to go watch that." And started you were watching
just talking
it.
About it last
I know, weekend. But I forgot about it again because that's what I do. So I started watching it on Wednesday while my son was at school, and you know, I got to find time to watch it eventually, but it'll be in between all that kind of stuff. But good stuff, man. So glad to have you here. How you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. Was trying to enjoy the game, and then I turned on the game and was like, never mind, no one's gonna be able to enjoy this game.
No. playing. It's like well, there goes that idea.
This isn't gonna be a pretty one. I think we all kind of knew that was gonna happen, unfortunately, so it sucks, but it is what it is. So,
I mean, I'm openly joking about, you know, the fact that this is technically a Case Keenum revenge game.
I mean, maybe that's what the first drive was, right? But other than that, it's been bad. So, all right, man. So let's jump into things here, and we'll start with all these Browns injuries. And, you know, like, I know they're playing right now, but we've got Nick Chubb hurt with a calf injury, multiple games already. We've got Kareem Hunt hurt. Calf injury. We know he's going to be out, you know, a little while, already on the IR. OBJ is playing, but I mean, he
tweaked something.
Did he? Did I miss that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I heard you say that, but I don't see anything. Where do you see that?
Down. It was right before. I just saw the play. He was out of
bounds. Oh, gotcha. Okay. You know, but again, like, OBJ's not healthy. Now Landry came back, and now we're dealing with Baker, who we thought might just be like, you know, he's a sore and he's, you know, banged up for the week or whatever. But turns out it's like he has a, you know, he way more serious injury, although he's like optimistic that he'll be able to play next week. It's like, no, probably not, man. Like, you're probably out for a little while, unfortunately. I mean, just what do we do with this Browns team going forward? I mean, how much trust can you put in these offensive players when, like, look, let's say Chubb and Hunt both come back in, you know, in 3 weeks. Can you put trust in them if Baker's out? Like, I don't know if Keenan's going to be able to carry the team like that, or I don't know. Like, it's just tough. Like, I don't really know what to do with this team with all these injuries.
I think for me, the way I look at it is the run game is always going to be priority. I mean, we saw that today, right? We're watching it right now. The run game is priority. Therefore, things get set up for play action, short games. So I would consider trusting Jarvis Landry. I won't trust OBJ. He's been questionable the last 3 weeks. And not even like, oh, we just put him on the queue. It's like he actually is questionable or doubtful every single game. DPJ injured himself right before on the pre-point warmups. He injured his groin, so even he's gone now, you know, temporary. So, like, if you trust anyone, it's probably Jarvis Landry or whoever the second receiver is, and that's a flex play in a three receiver.
Which we thought was Donovan Peoples-Jones until he hurt his groin pregame. So
you're telling me he's not playing.
He's not playing.
Yeah, I picked him up in our sleeper league, AJ, and then I didn't start him and meant to go in right before the game started. I mean, it was literally 2 minutes before kickoff. Sleeper already had locked the game, and I'm like, why can't I drop him? I just wanted to drop him to clear the roster spot so I could pick somebody else up. but it yeah. wouldn't even let me do that. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of garbage. Like, Sleeper needs to not like be proactive and lock players 2 minutes before game time. Wait till the kickoff, guys. That's when it's supposed to happen, because pregame injuries happen. And we didn't even get the notification from Sleeper, by the way, until 2 minutes before kickoff. So, like, you're not helping yourself. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. AJ, you got any more thoughts about this Browns, you know, this team, like, moving forward with all these injuries, like, what you can rely on, if anything?
Yeah, I mean...
until Chubb and Hunt come back, like, what do you do?
Nah, you know, hope, pray, if you're starting any of these guys, like I am, starting Dearness Johnson and a couple of areas, possibly even Scott Fish, because I think my running backs this week are him and...
Well, you already hit on Dearness.
Somebody
so congrats
terrible.
yeah, I mean, hey, I already did hit on Dearness Johnson. So it's funny that DeAndre Hopkins trade I made.
Hunt might be out.
He's going to be out for a little while.
Six.
Yeah.
I mean, he immediately went on the IR, so that's scary. I just don't think OBJ is that good anymore. Landry's not still good.
Well, not in this offense, he's not good.
No. Correct. But I'm not really trusting much out of him. I mean, the defense is still pretty good, but you know, you got to pick and choose and see who their upcoming matchups are, if it's even worth going after. But hey, that's a streamer in my
opinion. Yeah, I think
not really anybody.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm avoiding the passing game despite Landry. Like, Landry's a flex play at best. I'm all over the running game no matter who it is at this point. We've already seen Dearness Johnson go off, you know, a little bit here early on. And it is what it is. Like, that's what they do. That's what you're saying, Davis. Like, that's what this team does. So ride it while it's there and enjoy it. But we have a question already early here from Shane Clark. I'm in a PPR league, and like everyone else, the bye week is killing me. We'll get to that, of course. Who should I play, Pittman or Booker for flex? I'm going Pittman.
Yeah. I think I like Pittman. What do you guys think? Too.
Davis?
I like Pittman against the 49ers.
Yeah.
I think whoever starts, I think it's Jimmy G. He's going to come hobbled. He does this all the time. And I was talking to somebody else recently about Jimmy G's last time he returned, and that was against the Dolphins last season, and he got decimated because he was moving slow, was out of practice. And the Colts defense, as much as we want to give the Colts crap, their defense isn't.
The defense has picked it up for sure. I mean, Booker, fine, I suppose. But Carolina's been okay on defense. I know, like, the first three games was everybody's like, oh, my God, Carolina's defense is awesome. It's like, slow your roll, guys. They played three really crappy teams. They haven't been good, but they've been okay.
They were awesome.
But, yeah, Pittman's probably going to be one of the only reliable pass catchers for that Indy offense, by the way, too. So, T.Y.'s banged up. We know they lost Campbell. It's like him and Mo Alie-Cox, and I guess Nyheim Hines will make a little Campbell is IR, and so Shane, you just said scary T.Y. will take away touches. T.Y. is dealing with an injury, and I'm not totally sure he's going to be 100%. He could definitely re-injure it in mid-game if he even plays. So I don't worry about that too much. Pittman's still been the guy. And then as far as Gibson or McKissick, I don't like Gibson even if he plays, but if he is the guy... If he does start, I think you're kind of forced to play him. PPR, I guess you could go McKissick regardless, but I think if Gibson is out there, you have to use him over McKissick, because the idea is he gets all the rushing work in that offense. You guys agree?
Yeah.
So
I mean, all right. Yeah, I'm more in the McKissick camp, honestly, just because I have some owner shares in him, but and he's been pretty good for me, and also a bit of a desperation play because I don't have running backs. But yeah, like, I mean, you said it, the PPR aspect of it is definitely helpful for him. And I don't know. I mean, if you have a better option, maybe. I'm guessing not if you're asking about those two. So
I honestly think you'd I heard Mr. the thing earlier, but I think you have to play McKissick with Gibson's injury last week. I think he's going to because he was ruled out instantly last week, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think you play McKissick and just hope he gets like 6, 7, 8 rushing attempts and like 5 catches, right? And 5 catches for trash yards, and then you're fine. And
yeah, in PPR, McKissick is way more in play.
And a touchdown, then you're fine.
So, all right, man. Well, we need to move on here. So let's jump into this this crazy news that started coming out yesterday about Deshaun Watson. Yeah, this 3-team trade with Miami and Washington and, of course, Houston, to where I guess the idea was that Watson would go to Miami, Tua would go to Washington, and then I guess all the picks that Houston wants, which we don't know what those were actually like agreed on at some point, because nothing's really been said since. It's all been sort of like hushed again by the other teams, is that but all the picks that Houston wants are going to go back to Houston in some sort of, you know, combined trade here. Take it for what you will, but let's just take this one for instance, right? Like, what does Watson mean to a team like Miami, Davis?
As a Dolphins fan, I think it means nothing to us, because the problem isn't like Tua, the problem isn't receivers. The problem is the team has no identity. And I said this last season when everyone was talking about how the Miami defense was great. I was like, it's not. It's actually probably one of the worst defenses coming into the season, because, and look at it, like, look at it right now. It's just bad. I think if you have to look at a stat line, just it's their highest turnovers on a team. I think highest turnover touchdowns. Like the two stats that are most unrepeatable. People say touchdowns are unrepeatable. Try like defensive touchdowns, right?
Right. So that's the most impossible.
Stat,
right?
Yeah.
Xavier Howard with 8 picks, but at the same time, also gives a first down per catch, which is like the lowest in the league.
Jeez.
Which is, like, the worst. Yeah. It's like, how can we be good when we have like these really absurd stats? So adding Deshaun Watson changes nothing. What they need to do is fix that line. They need to have a run game. It's been 7 years since, or 8 years since Lamar Miller. We need to do something different. This team hasn't had a run game since Lamar Miller.
Well, they decided to not use Myles Gaskin, who I actually think is still pretty good. They've just decided like, we're fine. We don't need to use him. That makes no sense to me. The one game they've used him this year, he blew up. It's like, oh, and then the next game, nah, we're fine. That was just one game. We don't need to do that again.
Yeah, but Gaskin's stats are also unrepeatable, right? He went 7 for 7.
I get it. He's not going to
yards. Like, that's ridiculous.
I get it, but he's better. He's better than the crap usage that he's been getting.
Yes.
Definitely. Let's be real. So, like, you need to rely on him and stop trying to use Malcolm Brown and whatever else they're trying to do there. The receiving core is fine with Waddle, but Parker's nothing.
I think Parker's Fuller's still fine.
Hurt, obviously, so that's not working. Yeah. It's just, wait, the passing game's. Yeah, right?
Will Fuller's hurt?
No.
Who would have guessed? Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's amazing news.
Like, wow. I don't know. That team just, our team has never figured it out. You know, we're running around with pressed, running around with injured receivers, but it's the line that's really bad. It's the run game that doesn't exist. And if you put Deshaun Watson, he's just back in Houston again. That's all he's doing. He's back in 2019 Houston.
It's it's not going to be any different. And he's just going to get there and be like, oh, hey, what's up, Will? Oh, injured? Yeah. Cool. Figured.
that's so messed up. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And it sucks because I love Will Fuller when he's healthy. I mean, he's amazing for PPR and best ball and everything like that. But you get him for like 3 weeks and then that's it. So I don't know what to make of this. I just feel like there's so much of it going on, and it's just, I mean, it's really just another kick to the beard in my mind. And it's just like, you know what? We are almost going to not bring you back when you were healthy, because Tyler Heinicke's been playing okay, but you know, now we might just bring in Tua instead. And we need you to mentor him again. So
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Can you
I know how like, hilarious. There's so much. Fitzpatrick's like, I can't get away from this guy.
You can't even make this stuff up. You could try, but you can't. There's no way.
I'm going back to Harvard. Fuck it. It's like, I don't know. I'm just angry for the beard. He gets no respect.
Fitzpatrick is going to be injured for how many more weeks, and who knows if he's actually going to be like healthy and like.
And this is the first time he's been injured in his career.
But still, he's out a number of more weeks, and Heinicke clearly is like not.
I mean, Heinicke's not been playing well. I'm not going to argue about that because I have.
He's put up some pretty solid.
Yeah, he has.
He's put up some pretty solid fantasy stats. That doesn't mean you're a good NFL quarterback.
Agreed.
So I think there is at least an upside with Tua that he can be better.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing you're going to hope for. And so that's why they want to go after him. It's a young upside quarterback. Maybe they could
Is Miami already just decided that?
Well, I think they think if they can upgrade from Tua to Watson, who is still young, considerably young and way more talented. I mean, let's be real. Watson,
when healthy. The Dolphins also have the cap to sustain Watson. We had so many first round picks that already failed. That's which is funny, but like they have the cap to sustain Watson, right? So they might as well try to use it. That's the one thing I will agree on.
Is
what we do. We're gonna sign Will Fuller next year.
Please,
what I'm saying, like, there's nothing we can really do.
Nah, it's not good. So, yeah, I mean, this is a weird one. Like, it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. You know, it's to me, it's just like I'm surprised teams are going after Watson and willing to trade valuable pieces, especially future pieces, for somebody who in 6 months could be in jail. We have no idea what's going to happen to Watson, or just straight up, you know, on the exemption list or suspended or whatever it is. Like, something's going to happen to this guy. We just don't know yet, and it's just coming. So let's move on here to what I'm calling bye week again. And I've seen, you know, I've heard the bye apocalypse, you know, I've heard other names for it. I kind of called it my own thing just to be a little bit different. But look, Buffalo Bills, we all know, man, Josh Allen, Diggs, Samuel, we got Moss, as crazy as it is. And then we got Dallas with Dak and, you know, Lamb. Zeke and Pollard. And if you want to add Cooper in there and Schultz, you got Jacksonville. I mean, James Robinson
is
a beast.
He's been a beast. Marvin Jones has been kind of relevant.
Marvin Jones has been up and down, but he's been there. Minnesota, you know, as much as we don't like Kirk Cousins, he's been solid. Justin Jefferson, Thielen's been there. Cook is there. We got the Chargers with Eckler and that, you know. Mike Williams has been a beast, and Herbert, and, you know, Keenan Allen. And then we've got Pittsburgh, right? So, you know, and look, they're banged up, but Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris. They have a lot of star fantasy players out for this week, and it is destroying people. I tried my hardest not to, like, you know, focus on bye weeks during drafts. But when I realized after like three or four rounds, I might have had, you know, two or three guys on week seven already, I went, oh, wait, probably shouldn't draft any more guys that I think I should rely on for my starting lineup for week seven. If it's a bench player, maybe I went for it. Sweet. But after that, it was like, but, you know, it just ended up being a wash anyway, man. Like, everybody's dealing with this crap. Like, and if you didn't, you might not have a good team, because these are all like the great players this week. So,
that's a good point.
I mean, David, like we talked about a little bit about like bye week preparation last week. How do you go into your drafts, you know, looking at weeks like this? Because look, we've had seasons where we get, you know, six teams on bye multiple times, but it feels like it's never been these prominent type teams where you get so many fantasy players that people are relying on. How do you go in looking at a week like this?
I think you drew a good point that we had teams, a ton of teams before. I think particularly this one's really bad because week six was kind of already bad. Then we have week seven. I think we have one in week 14 is another bad one. But
I think week nine is also kind of bad.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like
if you come into it, you draft best player on board. And at that point, you just have to figure it out. That's how I always see it, right? Like, I'm not going to sit there and go, I'm not drafting Ezekiel Elliott because he's a, like, if he lands at me early or whatever, I just take him because there's nothing to do about it. You can't, you're not going to worry about 1 week. If week seven is the deciding factor that I don't make it to playoffs, then I was probably losing anyways, right? With the, like you said, with these amazing players. So I draft whoever is the best on board and I just worry about it later. If I need to make changes, I'll make changes. Now, I've never drafted a perfect team before. I don't think anybody ever has. So you're going to drop people in and out at some point. Like right now,
of course.
Amari Cooper, right? We would trade Amari Cooper away if we could. I know I've been trying.
Absolutely.
So
all day or a day.
Exactly. I've
never drafted Amari Cooper, to be honest.
Fair enough. But
if you ever listen to my show, you know I'm never drafting Amari Cooper.
But I mean, like, there's guys who aren't performing up to standards. Like Keenan Allen isn't really performing up to standards.
He's not.
Thought he would. So you're going to get it wrong. So it's not a big deal. If I say worry about it after the fact, you have 6 weeks to trade before week seven. If you have the stoutest team possible, then just take a loss because you're probably at least 6-0, and that's fine.
The problem is those teams that are already like, you know, they're kind of 3-3 or they're 2-4, and like they get crushed by this week by buys, and you're like, well, now what?
I think that leads
into our next discussion here, but yeah. I'll let you.
I mean,
I was gonna say you make a good point. The 3-3, 2-4 teams, you just take advantage of what you can. I started training with every other 2-4 team. In my league, I have one league that I'm 2-4 with three other guys, and we were like, and I was like, hey, let me suck up your James Robinson bye week, and I'll trade you DeAndre like Swift. And the guy took it. And I'm like, I'll just take it. Like, this is how we're going to go.
Okay.
I still have Damian Harris and Alvin Kamara. Like, go take DeAndre Swift.
Melvin,
I get James Robinson.
Gordon just scored, by the way.
Oh, Melvin Gordon.
Your boy, Melvin Gordon.
He commented on one of my posts before and I shot him out.
Oh, man.
I love him.
Yeah, so speaking of trades, you know, let's jump in right into our next topic, right? So, look, we all know the bye weeks are bad and, like, everybody's having to deal with it. So, but here's the thing. So, trades have been all over Twitter. I've gotten more trade discussions this week than I think I have ever had. And it is absolutely crazy. Actually, hang on. We've got a couple questions here. Before we jump into this, because this discussion could take a little while. Before we do this, all right. So Shane asked us another question here. Which running back will finish with more points, PPR, Zeke or Najee Harris? And he's saying rest of season, I'm about to make a trade offer. Mike Williams and Daryl Henderson for either Harris or Zeke. I don't think I even do that.
Wait, what's the whole trade? I don't see the whole trade.
He's saying this. I don't even think I do that. I don't think Harris or Zeke is that much of an upgrade over Henderson, who's in a great offense. He's going to get goal line work. And you're giving away Mike Williams?
Unless you have the most stout like receiving core, I don't see a team that doesn't need Mike Williams.
I don't see how you do that trade. I don't think that helps you. I think you just don't do it. But your original question, if you really want to know, I think it is still Zeke. PPR, Zeke or Harris. I think it's Zeke. Well, actually, now that I think about that. Because Harris has seen a lot of passing work. That's so close.
I think Zeke's
been such a monster though, like in between the tackles, and like he just gets all that. Yeah, I like Zeke's schedule during playoff time. I do, but yeah, I don't know. I still just don't do this trade, man. Shane, yeah. I think this trade's bad for you. Regardless, I just don't think you do it. Henderson's been a top 10 back. Like he's been good, man. I don't think you do it.
So I will say I would consider taking Harris. I do like Zeke a lot. And as AJ was saying, like Tony Pollard steals just enough, right? And that's sometimes
something.
Like, if you lose 40 yards on a touchdown, you're losing 10 points, and that sucks.
As the season goes on, I think we're going to see a little more Pollard, because if Dallas keeps playing the way they've been playing and keeps winning in the world's worst division of all time, you know, they're going to want to reserve Zeke for the playoffs and try to win a playoff game for the first time in, you know, I don't know, 14 years. I don't know the math on that, but suck it, Dallas. So, yeah, I mean, like, I could see Pollard getting more action later in the season. It's not going to kill Zeke's value, but it's going to chip away at it.
I disagree. I don't think he's going to eat into Zeke's work more. I think this is what they've decided is going to happen, and it's going to kind of stay the way it is the rest of the season. Yeah. Zeke just needs to have a healthy offensive line the rest of the year and dominate. And that's and it's very possible it will. But we do have one more.
Real quick on the Najee Harris. The only thing I'd worry about with Darrell Henderson is the injury concerns. That guy is Deontay Johnson, but as a running back, like, he's always finishing with a keyword at the end of the game. So
yeah, I get it.
Trading away a headache is kind of worth it. Like I said, if his receiving corps is stout, I wish he would have told us the receivers were. Would be a different story, but he's telling us Mike Williams and Darrell Henderson. I think on paper that looks bad, but I could see trading for Najee Harris, who's really young and getting like 25 touches a game, and I think that's fine. And you're not, he doesn't have a queue at the end of his games every single day, every single week.
Yeah. That's true. Zeke is banged up a lot too, though. So we have one more. Scooby Taylor, would you trade away Antonio Gibson and Cooper Kupp for Aaron Jones and Marquise Brown in PPR? Honestly, I don't hate that, man, because I'm afraid of Gibson's chin injury. So Jones is a major upgrade, although he is starting to split more and more work with Dylan. Kupp is a little like Thielen, it feels like, although slightly better every year, where like he starts off hot for like 8 to 10 weeks and then just drifts off into nothing, which is what Thielen does. Marquise Brown seems to have his arrow trending way up, although we haven't seen him and
Bateman
on the field except for this past week. And I mean, arguably, Brown had his worst week with Bateman there, although they didn't have to pass the ball a lot. It was a blowout early, so
yeah,
that, you know, that was a bit of a, like, I need to see a little more from it before I can decide what that's really going to be. I don't know, AJ, you can go first. What do you think? I think I would do it because I am terrified of Gibson's injury.
Yeah, I'm very happy trading away Gibson. Great talent, but injuries scare me, and I would rather take the upside of Brown over that injury question mark. Kupp and Jones to me are kind of interchangeable. It's really just which one you like better between Gibson and Brown. So I would do it.
So,
Davis, any other final thoughts on that? Or you in favor for it or no?
So the way I look at it is this: you're getting two usable pieces instead of just having one usable piece in Cooper Kupp. Like you said, you guys talked about Gibson. So we just consider not that usable at the moment. Aaron Jones is, as much as I'm not the biggest fan of Aaron Jones as a first round pick, he is still a RB1 though, right? He's a guy that I say you pick up the turn. He receives touchdowns. He runs and rushes touchdowns. He does it all. And Marquise Brown, although Cooper Kupp is leading all the receivers of like 160 PPR points, and Marquise Brown doesn't have a bad Detroit game, he'd be like, he's wide receiver 7 right now. I think he's like, he would have been like wide receiver 3, right? So you're basically trading wide receiver 1 for wide receiver 3, and you're getting an RB, you know, a top 10 RB. I don't think you should not take this trade. I would trade away Gibson and Kupp, take those guys.
Yeah, I for sure like it. All right, so let's get back into our trade discussions here. And so, you know, we all know these bye weeks are hitting people hard. Look, I've been getting a ton of questions on Twitter about, you know, this trade, that trade. And it's usually, in my opinion, it's usually like a team trying to fill a gap for the bye week. And I don't know records. I don't know, you know, they don't tell me there's 10 teams, there's 12 teams, there's 14 teams. You know, we only start two receivers. Like, I don't get all the information, so I can only take in what I get. But in most cases, it feels like a bit of a panic move where the team dealing with massive bye weeks and injuries because they might have Nick Chubb or something like that, right? Trying to fill a hole for 1 week. Is there any scenario where you are willing to trade, lose the trade, if you want to call it that, right? Just to possibly win this week, Davis. Do you do that?
I would say if I'm 3-3, no. If I'm 2-4, maybe. It depends on how much of a loss I'm taking.
Right.
As I was saying earlier, like DeAndre Swift for James Robinson. Right? If I'm the guy that really, really needs Swift, fine. I really need to start putting wins on the board. But if I'm the guy that's James Robinson and I'm a 3-3 guy, then no. I will fall to 3-4 and keep the better running back. Fantasy running back, maybe not in real life. Because I guess you still have 4, 5, 6 more weeks to play. You know, you still have to play week 13.
I've seen some guys get hot at the end of the season. You know, there's going to be some injuries coming. You'll be able to pick up some guys. So I'm kind of with you. I don't like to lose the trade just to win, to pick up 1 week if it's going to cost me 3 more or 4 more losses down the stretch. Well, it's probably not worth it. The
other thing to look at here, too, is if you're trading away your bye week 7 guys, if there's somebody in your league that has just 6 guys on bye this week that's struggling and you know, freaking out about it, I am all for taking advantage of that by trading them like a DeAndre Swift or somebody who has not been on a bye yet, because what we've had 2 bye weeks, if that, or just the
this
one.
This is the second one.
So yeah, basically anybody you're going to trade is likely still going to have their bye. And if you're sitting in a good enough position, especially at 500 at 3-3, I'm all for trading for these people. And like you said, Davis, if you take the loss this week, okay, great. But then you're set up for the rest of the run. And you're good.
And at the end of the day, too, we're not playing to make playoffs. We're playing to win championships. And if I take a loss on a player now and I'm running into a, let's say, you know, who's with Damian Harris as my RB2 coming into the playoffs, I'm probably going to lose.
Yeah, probably.
I've seen guys do that. But also a thing I would consider right now is trading guys that are like 4-2, 5-1. For some, I've seen a lot of guys that are like, I don't want to, I'm playing for the bye week, or I'm, you know, for the future bye week, or I'm playing for not to get more losses. I've seen these guys panic more. Usually guys who are 2-4 quit. So let's stop trading with you in general. So I start targeting 4-2 guys, 5-1 guys that don't want to add a loss, because they're like, oh no, I don't. If I lose now, you know, I won't get that bye week in the future, and then they start panic trading too.
Right. That's a good call. I agree with that. I've seen that happen before too. I agree with everything you guys are saying. And again, AJ, you and I talked about this last week, so I don't think there's a whole lot else to get into here. If you guys want to hear more about how we feel about it, go to last week's show. Feel the same now. So do want to ask you, Davis. So you do the trade talk on trade targets, on our site, fantasy6back.net, every week. You go through and discuss some guys you should buy low on, sell high on, and then some, I think. And then, so let's jump in here into some buy low guys. And before you get into some buy low guys, like, what is it that you're looking for in a player to become a buy low player?
So first thing I look at is, are they even involved in the offense, right? Anyone can be a buy low. People like to say that, this guy, Allen Robinson's been the buy low for like 5 weeks straight, right? Like, but I just need to see, is the offense relevant? You know, was it them that was bad? I know one of my buy lows, I think in like week three, was Marquise Brown against like the Lions. He did had a bad game, terrible game against the Lions. And I know for some people that don't like Marquise Brown and didn't really believe in him, they use that as like a vaulting point of, see, he sucked against a really bad team, right? And so the first thing I want to look at is, are they offensively relevant? Is that person going to be relevant on the team? And that's where I should go off first. Like, did he get 7 targets? Okay, 7 targets, and he just happened to be bad that game.
Right.
And then I also just look at, you know, possible schedules. If that's another tiebreaker for me. And then also the final part is he even viable? You know, because not everyone, you know, a guy has a bad week doesn't mean he's actually viable. I know I see a lot of other articles that say trade for this guy. And I'm like, who's trading you Zeke? like, who's trading you like Christian McCaffrey because he had a slightly bad week? Like, who's doing this? Like, no one is. You know, so I always look at people consensus too. Like, Joe Mixon was a guy that I know people just use any excuse to hate. And he was actually one of our buy low targets early on, yeah. Actually. And people use that excuse that they don't like him. And I'm like, great, go trade for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's got to be a guy who is, like, let's take a wide receiver, for instance, like seeing a lot of targets. It's just not pulling them down for whatever reason. Has had maybe past success with that type of volume. I've got a guy in mind, but I want to let you give out some of your buy lows. I have a feeling you're going to mention this one. If not, I will. But give me a couple of guys who you are trying to go out and get right now and why.
So like on the article I had this week, let me see which one I have. Who did I have from the beginning? Oh, I had Terry McLaurin was one of the ones I put up there because he's kind of had off and on games. I think Terry McLaurin is especially going against Kansas City, people, and I actually wrote about it before as one of my sell highs was Devontae Smith. Your best game's gonna come against either the Titans or against the Chiefs.
And right.
If the player doesn't perform against that hurts. That stings a ton. I think Terry McLaurin was that guy for me this week. And then Chris Godwin was the other one I wrote about this week. Another person that happens to be suffering from not living up to expectations, but is good overall in PPR. He's still getting 5 catches a game. Yardage is sporadic between 50 yards to 80 yards and maybe a touchdown. So those guys I think are actually obtainable. And one of my friends traded away Terry McLaurin for pennies on the dollar this week. And I don't know why, but he did. Because he felt it. He was like, I'm tired of having Terry McLaurin in my lineups.
I mean,
I'm tired of having Chris Godwin in my lineups. And I'm like, but those are reasonable buy lows, I think.
Yeah. I mean, are you worried at all, especially for the short term, especially if you're a team that needs wins, that McLaurin is dealing with a hamstring injury and, I mean, played bad against a Kansas City team that he should have played better against, played bad against a New Orleans team that he should have played better against? Yeah, he had a monster game against Atlanta, but he was supposed to be healthy then, so... but he, other than Atlanta and New York, he's had 4 mediocre games. If you wouldn't even call them mediocre, I would call them bad.
No, and they were pretty bad, but I think it's what more of Washington being the problem itself. Like, yeah. I know when I watched the Kansas City Chiefs game, every target, they treat McLaurin as a deep shot, right? And I actually talked a little bit in the article too. It's just, he's no longer your wide receiver one. He's a 2/flex. You play him hoping that he gets a deep ball because that's all he gets these days. It's a few, you know, slants inside or inside routes and then 5 deep shots. And you're hoping one of those deep shots hit. And, you know, until they figure that out, how to get him not double team, yeah, you're gonna suffer for a little while. But at the end of the day, you know your Terry McLaurin's getting 7+ targets. You know that it's home run hitters. And if one hits, you're good. You're solid.
Yeah.
So, and that's how I think it's just tempering expectations.
It's tough for me to buy on a guy who is so inconsistent to me, like, because I don't like misused players in the NFL. And right now McLaurin feels like he's misused and injured.
But he's also talented right now.
He is talented. He's super talented. I love him.
And it's the opposite of Allen Robinson, where Allen Robinson's not even getting targets.
Yeah, right? It's bad.
So I feel like that's why I look at him and go, he's still part of the offense. You know, he's probably going to cost you nothing. Like, I could probably get Terry McLaurin for, like, pennies on the dollar, and I don't even know who I could use. Marcus Callaway and like a crappy running back, right? Because someone's going to see it and go, well, Marcus Callaway is actually getting points. And I'm like, I'd be fine trading away something like that. You know, so I think it'd be okay with that.
So the receiver I was looking at as a huge buy low target is Calvin Ridley. I know people who are super frustrated with this guy. It helps that he's caught one touchdown in the first 4 weeks, then was obviously out for personal reasons, had a bye week, so I think people are kind of forgetting about him all of a sudden. And now he's back, and he's playing on Miami team. This could be a smash week for Calvin Ridley, in my opinion. Get him before he smashes, guys. Look, the targets are still there, and Matt Ryan is actually starting to play way better than he did early on. And, you know, you saw that with Pitts, 2 weeks ago, where he crushed. And so, like, Matt Ryan's starting to connect with these guys. For some reason, it's just not the production, the targets and even the receptions isn't turning into yards, it's not turning into touchdowns with Calvin Ridley. And, like, maybe this is like the wide receiver one, I don't know, cold over there in Atlanta, where like Julio couldn't catch touchdowns, but I think things are going to turn around for Calvin Ridley. I really do. AJ, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of getting Ridley. I mean, this was a guy who came in to the season just rolling up the ADP because of the Julio trade, and
of course
he clearly hasn't lived up to that hype. And I don't think that's necessarily 100% his fault, but like you said, Ryan's been playing a lot better now. I think it's in Ridley's nature to get back to where he was. So I love the idea of going after him now and trying to low on that. Again, it's a player who's already been on the bye. He's got a lot of life left for the rest of the season and the fantasy season. So, you know, it just depends on who you'd have to give up to get him. And I don't think you have to give up that much. Unless the owner is just kind of in the same boat thinking, yeah, that, you know, he's going to break out, he's going to come back and whatever. And then you might have to give up a little bit more to get him, but I still think it's worth it in the end. You know, Russell Gage hasn't really shown anything. Granted, he's been,
well, he's been hurt, but he's back this week apparently. So
allegedly.
We'll see.
I'm hoping that he plays, cause I just need a player on the team that I just randomly picked him up on.
Don't we all this week?
I don't even understand a few of my teams because I'm looking at them like.
So true.
I keep looking at my rosters, being like, "That can't be my starters," and then I go to my bench and I go, "Oh yeah, they are. They are my starters."
Sandlot.
Damn it! There's nothing I can do.
Sandlot, and it's not baseball. This is not happening. You're not all Bo Jackson. I'm all for trying to go after Ridley.
Yeah. AJ, you got anybody you're trying to buy low on?
Honestly,
I think we've both given receivers. Got any running backs you're trying to buy low on? We've got some pretty craptastic ones this season, and I know they're all injured, but that might be too tough.
That's kind of the thing. Like, you're just figuring out which is the best of the injured. I mean, we have it listed here. I'm not against trying to buy CMC. You know, he's still a stud when he's on the field. He's shown that the last two seasons, even though he's been injured more than he's really played. But this to me could be the season that you really want to go out, try to get him for the long run. We already talked about Darnold just sucking ass without him on the field, so the sooner he gets back, the better Darnold's going to be. You know, it's going to take pressure off of Darnold, and you know, it's going to open things up a little bit more for, I don't know, Robbie Anderson. No,
good God. Stop it.
Yeah, I know. It was a joke. Not a good one. But yeah, I don't hate the idea of trying to go out and buy CMC, because somebody who owns him now, you know, especially in a league where, you know, maybe he's a keeper player, and this person kept him again, thinking, oh well, I've got to keep him because he's still, you know, he's still CMC, and then they're like, here we go again. This is 2 years now. I can't do this anymore. And I mean, you might be able to play that into maybe like a RB2.
Well, so interesting you bring up CMC, and I got a trade question today that said was offered Hurts and McCaffrey for James Robinson. So the guy would be giving up James Robinson and getting Jalen Hurts and McCaffrey back, and the dude is dealing with a Russell Wilson injury. Now he's got Burrow, which is fine, I guess. Burrow's going to be hit or miss most weeks, I feel like. Now he's giving up James Robinson, who we all, I think, agree that we like a lot. But is that something you would do? It's full PPR. So the guy's team, I think, is pretty solid. I think he's probably got a decent record. The kicker is he's also got Hubbard. So he'd be getting his other running back is Aaron Jones and then Hubbard. So...
Sweet.
I kind of like the deal for that.
CMC and Hurts just to give up James Robinson. Yeah, do that.
No. He has Jones already. He would be giving up James Robinson to get Hurts and McCaffrey. He already has Jones, and then he already has Hubbard. So he's got the CMC fill in. Okay, anyway, whatever. It sounded like.
I want to see what the timetable is for CMC. I think that's the first question you got to ask. What's the timetable?
I don't think anybody knows. I think everybody's hoping it's 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I think that's the question. And if you have Hubbard, like, yeah, sure, like, but then you're trading away what? I mean, does he really need Jalen Hurts? Like, I feel like Jalen Hurts puts just enough points to be a QB1, but doesn't put like separating numbers as a QB1. Like, he's not putting up, you know, just Herbert's 4-touchdown game.
No, you're right, but Burrow hasn't been doing that either, and Wilson hasn't been doing that either. Wilson's out for another, who knows how long, honestly. I think he gets a great quarterback that has a very good floor in Hurts that's going to carry him at least until Wilson gets back, if not beyond that, honestly. And then if he also gets CMC out of it, I mean, I think once CMC comes back and he's – if he is healthy, that's the question mark. Like, you are taking a huge risk in that trade. I get it, but I think I like it. So I think we do it. Let's move on here to some sells. And David, so I asked you, you know, what do you look for in guys that are, you know, buys? What do you look for in players that are players that you are trying to sell high on?
So when you guys mentioned Calvin Ridley, that's actually one of the articles I have like a week 5. And I forgot that he went on a bye week coming up there. But he was somebody I was trying to trade because he played 4 or 5 very, very soft teams, right? He was playing like the Jets, like it was Washington, like teams that were giving up yardage like crazy. And I think he hit 80 yards one time. And obviously that's Matt Ryan playing poorly, but that's part of it, right? Like if your quarterback's bad, then you're going to be bad. And sure, he gets the Dolphins this week, but the weeks after that, he gets Panthers, which means James Bradbury. Then he gets Marshawn Lattimore, and then he gets whatever. He gets another star corner that's going to be attached at his hip because they don't care about Russell Gage and the others. So usually a guy that I would try to sell high on is someone like Ridley that right now I think he's actually a strong buy low. But weeks prior, he would have been a sell high because I don't want – if he's doing poorly against bad defenses, like I don't trust him against them one corners. I don't trust somebody that's going to have a tough, tough schedule coming in the next 4 weeks. Sure, you get Dolphins once. That's fine. But you're living with this guy, though, throughout the next few more weeks before he finally faces Tampa. which could be even just as bad because Tampa might just break down that O-line and Matt Ryan's back in week one against the Eagles again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something like that is that kind of player that I would have sold high on at week five, week four.
Yeah, I just don't I find it hard. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in leagues where people don't get suckered into that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I'm sure there are people out there that do that. So yeah, it I guess the thing you're looking for sell high is maybe some brand name value a little bit still. So you're looking for some brand name value and somebody who has like one or two hot weeks and you know in the middle of like a crappy early season, you're going like, hey, look, he's still good. Look at this shiny, like he's shiny over here, right?
Stephon Diggs would be a really example of that right now. A guy that just had a really hot week, finally, out of how many weeks?
You know? I still like Diggs, and maybe it's just bias for whatever reason. I still think the target share has been there for him, not like we saw last year. And I know
I think teams are covering him a lot better than they did before. I think teams are now expecting him to be amazing, so they treat him like he's coming in like, to be amazing.
And that's fine. Yeah. And that's fine. Look, he just blew up against Tennessee, who hasn't, right? But
but I mean, like, let's say like this. You get an offer where somebody wants to trade you CeeDee Lamb for Stephon Diggs. Are you saying no to that? Stephon Diggs is a way bigger name. And I think CeeDee Lamb would be way more productive, though.
That's tough. I mean, they're both so.
I mean, both great quarterbacks.
I don't know if I would do that. I mean, Diggs has seen more targets than Lamb this season. Yeah, I don't think I'd do that. And both offenses are great. I think that's sort of a wash. Like, I don't think I would do that.
Yeah. But if it's a wash, then we kind of see it that way, though, right? We see it as CDM could be the guy.
I mean, it's close. It's the kind of trade offer that you hope to see come through instead of, like, I don't know, Robbie Anderson for Stephon Diggs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a sell high.
What's wrong with you?
My point is it's a sell high, though, right? Like, you're selling him high. You're going to get high.
I mean, look, you're still seeing 14, 8, 10, 11, and granted, week 5, 5. But the week six was 11. Like, you're still seeing massive target share toward Stephon Diggs. It just hasn't connected consistently enough, and the touchdowns haven't been there. I think we're gonna see a bit of a rise for Diggs here going forward. I don't think he's a sell high player, if you can even call him that, to be honest. I know he's coming off a much better week than he's had in the last few, but I don't believe him to be a sell high player. I still believe he's there. He's got an elite quarterback. It's hard to sell guys that have elite quarterbacks and elite talent at the same time for just guys that are performing for whatever reason it is. Like, I don't know. I mean, in your case, like, would you sell him for Marquise Brown? Like, no way. I know Brown's been amazing this year and outperforming Diggs by a long shot, but I don't think I'd do it.
Maybe not 1-1, but I would consider it. If the offer was like him and a very solid friend, I'd maybe do it. Let's say I was hurting that quarterback and I didn't have Joe Burrow and I was stuck with Ryan Tannehill and someone offered me Jalen Hurts, Marquise Brown for Diggs, I'd take it. I would take it hands down.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to combo trade it there to get somebody like Diggs. I still don't feel like, you know, Diggs is somebody who I'm giving up for cheap at this point.
No, I don't think anybody would. But
And Shane just mentioned here, thanks for listening, man. I appreciate you listening to this whole show, dude. He said, Diggs is the true number one. Lamb isn't, and with Gallup coming back. I mean, look, Lamb, I think, is the true number one, but it's like a 1A to 1B to almost like a 2A. Like, Lamb is going to see the better work. He's going to be the more productive receiver, but they still have a lot of talent there around him to where the Bills do too. But I think Diggs is still like above and beyond the rest of those guys. Like, I don't think anybody's seeing even close to the targets he's seeing there. And I could look that up here real quick. But anybody else that you guys are trying to sell high on? AJ, do you have anybody?
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't, and this might be a bold call, but I'm not against selling
Patty Mahomes. If because of the way that we've seen the landscape going with running backs and injuries and everything that we talk about, I mean, granted, quarterback injuries we've talked about ad nauseum too, and they just seem to happen. But this seems to be the year where it's more everything but the quarterback. And that's probably going to change now that I've mentioned that. But I mean, I love Patty Mahomes. I have
the AJ curse.
Multiple teams, and I'm just riding it through because he's carrying me on a couple of those teams. But I'm not against getting rid of a Waller, or I'm sorry, a Mahomes.
You just read that comment, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, I did. We'll get to that. Hold on, Shane.
I like that question, actually. I love that one, yeah, actually.
That's great. I was like, man.
So I've got the stats for Buffalo when you're done talking about Mahomes. Oh, by the way,
I had another sell high too, really quick.
No, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. We got it.
But real quick, I think if you could sell Mahomes and get like a solid running back who's actually playing, and I don't know, like a Matt Stafford or you know, not even a Matt Ryan. I don't know if you're going to get at this point with a good running back, but you could package something together with Mahomes to make him the key piece, and I think you could enhance your team pretty damn well. I mean, it's not that he's playing bad. Kansas City is just not.
He's still QB1, by the way, but
I know
you can absolutely make up. You can trade QB1 with all the quarterback. He's not like destroying the rest of the quarterbacks. I get you, man. No. I feel you.
Yeah.
So real quick, the Buffalo target share here is Diggs 58, Beasley 43, Sanders 39. So that equates to 26.4, 19.5, and 17.7. The rest of the guys don't matter. The big difference is touchdowns, right? So Sanders is like the big revelation right now because he's got four touchdowns off of 24 receptions total. Diggs, after last week's game, has two off 37, and then Beasley has one off of 33. I mean, it's
just got
I still week. Think I still think Diggs. Yeah, he did. And I still think Diggs is the guy there, and you want shares of that offense as much as you can. Look, you want shares of the Dallas offense too, but I think Lamb is in a much more of a timeshare there. I mean, Lamb and Cooper are 49 targets and 42 targets, and that's without Gallup, by the way. If you add in Dalton Schultz, and I got to switch over that real quick. The system I'm using here doesn't do that. Dalton Schultz has 37. So like he's not separating himself in as far as target share. The production has been slightly better just because they've been scoring a little bit more over there as far as, you know, that all that goes. But I still think I wouldn't do it. Real quick.
When I look at Diggs, though, like his major targets came on the games that Josh Allen was performing well. And Josh Allen performs better when he's targeting other guys, right? So, like, the first, I think the one of 14 targets was the first game, and he did pretty poor. Then the week two, he did pretty poor. He started figuring out that teams were stopping Diggs. And I think when he started targeting other players, he got better. It wasn't he's using Diggs to be better.
Well, and so what do you – well, and Knox is out.
Yeah.
Probably for a little while now, too. So that's going to hurt. But like, I wonder if there's going to be something to the fact that – look, they know that teams are shutting down Diggs, so now they've had to spread the ball around to other people, Sanders and Beasley, not just force it down Diggs' throat and get it knocked down. So now teams have to honor Sanders, honor Beasley, and Knox, and even to some degree, like these running backs, man. Like the running backs have been, every time I look down, every once in a while, you know, I watch Red Zone a lot. You know, you look at these running backs and I'm like, damn, Moss and Singletary are catching, you know, plenty of passes. Not to the receivers level, but they're involved. So like these teams aren't going to be able to just to bracket Diggs after a while. This team's going to figure it out. I feel like Diggs is going to benefit from it. Shane's probably been waiting a while for this question here. Good one. Would you sell Waller? I'm starting to get a little frustrated with him. If you don't have a backup, I don't know who you're picking. I mean, it would depend on who's on your waiver. No. You'd have to get like a. You'd have to get a really good player back to fill like a hole at receiver or running back, and you'd have to get like some sort of like, I don't know, low end tight end one that you can hope has touchdown upside every week. Waller's still getting so much volume in this offense, not like he did week one, but he still sees tons of volume. I think they'll figure it out eventually with him. It's hard to sell Waller, especially with the craptastic tight ends that we have in this NFL. Real quick answer, you guys agree or no?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is. Who do you pick up?
It's so tough, man. Like, it's so tough. So I hold. You said you had one more, Davis, and then we'll get to the rest of this.
My other sell high is the guy that's playing today, and it's Courtland Sutton, right? Courtland Sutton's a guy that I would definitely sell high on. He was in the article, featured him. Like, I just
like it.
I can't stand garbage time players. Like, I love garbage time when I'm the guy rostering, but you just tells you one thing. You need your team to lose by 35 points before you start doing anything. And that's what Courtland Sutton's done the last 2 weeks.
I don't know if he's truly garbage time.
It's
but what I'm worried I mean the whole Denver offense is garbage time. What happens with what's going to happen with Sutton is Jerry Jeudy's back in at least in a week or two, right? And so you need to like go after these managers in your league who aren't paying attention to that, not realizing that that's going to be a huge factor. And to some degree, Tim Patrick's right in that same boat, and he's going to get destroyed even worse. Yeah. He's been, you know, super valuable. You know, he's at least like a wide receiver two flex type, you know, wide receiver three in every single week. So he's been very solid. Maybe not tonight, but who is on this Denver offense apparently?
Sutton's got three huge weeks and three really crappy weeks, and then tonight. Yeah. He's not really doing much.
He's 3-56 right now, and he's probably going to finish with like 5-80 and maybe a tutty. And that's good. 80 yards and 5 catches. That's what you always relevant. Count on.
I mean, the game. The last 2 weeks he's had the touchdown.
Yeah.
Week two against Jacksonville, he did not, but he just had a ton of yards and a ton of receptions, so he got you there. I mean, it's hard to gauge what's going to happen with this Denver quarterback situation with Bridgewater, you know, playing through these injuries right now and starting, and then, you know, oh, well, Sutty just got another one. At least for me, I'd probably be behind you.
No, he's fine. The thing I gotta say real quick, just to finish up, because we gotta move on, is Courtland Sutton's a very talented player. When Jeudy comes back, he's gonna take a knock, and Tim Patrick definitely will. And Tim Patrick is a zero tonight, which absolutely sucks for me because I had to start him on this bye week hell. And but he's a talented player, so like I'm not giving him up, you know, for chump change. I need something back in return from him because I don't think he's going to turn into a pumpkin when Jeudy comes back. But you also have to remember that this week is sort of something you got to look at and go, oh, they were playing the Browns. The Browns defense is one of the best in the NFL this season. So there is something to that. You can't look at this and be like, oh, now he sucks.
Yeah,
he doesn't. It's just he played the Browns, and that's going to happen to a lot of teams that play the Browns. So,
and he's still
very tough matchup. So,
okay.
So we already talked about, I had a couple other guys, a couple other questions here, but we'll pass on those. We already actually talked about the CMC one, so we'll pass on those. So let's just jump into these injuries here. AGL's like the first couple here, quarterbacks. We got Trey Lance, questionable with a knee, did not practice today. Jimmy G ankle, limited practice. He's likely the one to start anyway. We already kind of expected that. And then, Tua ribs, limited practice. He's looking like he'll play as long as they don't trade him. We still don't really know yet. Running back, random one that popped up late today was Derrick Henry, did not practice, unknown. So sounds like it could just be like he was away for personal matters or something like that. Like usually if it's an injury that they'll mention it. So this just seems
He was too busy. I see this, like, big guys, ball is what it is.
I'm tired. I need to sleep.
Slow your roll.
And as you should. Or, hey, guys, I'm good. I don't need to practice anymore. You guys just do your thing. No, yeah. I think I would be shocked if he's out. But, again, just something to monitor. We got Antonio Gibson, as we mentioned, with the shin injury. Obviously, the stress fracture. Limited practice today, which was actually kind of shocking. I thought he'd be out this week for sure, but now he's trending like he's going to play. Latavius Murray, questionable ankle injury, did not practice today again, so he needs to get into practice, I would say, at least tomorrow to play. If not, you're looking at Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, maybe some Tyson Williams. We have no idea. My guess is Devonta Freeman. He looked slightly better than everybody else last week.
He's fast.
He is fast. Bell just looks like an old man at this point. Alex Collins, questionable with a hip and glute injury. I know that ear off destroyed him. He should have. He was an idiot for doing that. So keep out. Keep a lookout for the Alex Collins update. We got Saquon Barkley, ankle, did not practice. Probably not playing again this week. We got Sony Michel's shoulder, did not practice. That was a Wednesday update. And then we got Damian Williams, still on the COVID list. So he can't come off until Saturday, apparently. So that's definitely something to look out for. So people with Khalil Herbert and Damian Williams, you know, both, one or the other, like, you really can't make a decision until much later in the week until we know what's going on with Williams here. So, AJ, take these receivers.
All right. Receivers, we already talked about Judy being on the IR. Might be back next week, though. Julio is out with a hamstring. He did not practice on Wednesday. We got T.Y. Ow, my neck, Hilton. Is actually dealing with a quad injury. Frank First Reich says it's a 50-50 shot that he plays. I don't know if I trust Frank these days, unless he's handing the ball to JT. So there's that. Tony is questionable with an ankle. He did not practice. Slayton is also questionable with a hamstring. He was a limited practice. Shepard, also questionable with a hamstring. Limited practice. Galladay, questionable with a knee. Did not practice. Suck it, Giants, and suck it, Keith. That is all for that. It's a little, Paris Campbell.
Don't worry. I had your back last week, man. I made fun of the Giants last week for you.
That's right. Good. Sammy Watkins is questionable with a thigh. He was a
questionable DNP. With talent. What?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
We've known that for a long time. Terry Sausage Egg McLaurin. We already talked about hamstring, limited practice. Curtis Samuel is also dealing with an injury. He is questionable with a groin. He did not practice. Henry Ruggs, not to be confused with carpets, is questionable with a knee. Limited practice on Wednesday. Terrence Marshall's dealing with concussion symptoms. He was questionable. Antonio Brown, I'm guessing, questionable with an ankle. DNP. Brian Edwards, hamstring, limited practice. Tight ends. Fant, no injury designation for his foot. I don't know if he's playing tonight.
He is, so he's good.
Paid much attention to that. Ricky Seals Jones, the law firm, is dealing with a quadriceps, limited practice, questionable. Logan Thomas, I believe, is still on IR.
Yeah, Seals Jones looking like he'll play, so it's fine.
He should be playing. Dawson Knox, granted, Buffalo is not playing. We already talked about that, but he's out after getting surgery on his hand. He's expected to miss a couple weeks after successful surgery, so that hurts his prospects when he gets back. Well, when Buffalo gets back to playing next week in week 8.
Absolutely.
Travis Kelce is neck injury, questionable, limited practice Wednesday. Gronk, questionable, still with ribs.
Likely not playing, dude.
Highly likely he's not playing. Limited practice, so he came out and said something about Tide Pods and some other commercial that he's probably in, and then left. and ate a hot dog. And then he hurt himself. Evan Ingram. Suck it, Keith. Cap DNP. You have no receivers. Saquon, injured. Tony Slayton, Shepard Galladay. Another law firm.
Stop it.
Injured. All right. Anyway. DFS plays. What do we got?
All right, man. So start off here with our DraftKings. We do DraftKings, by the way. So start off here with our stacks, and then, you know, mix in the, kind of the smash play. So stacks is obviously, you know, quarterback receiver, quarterback running back, you know, whatever you want to call it. You stack a couple players on the same team, or just those guys, you know, individually by themselves that you're just going like, I don't really care what they cost. I'm playing them. Davis, do you have any guys that you want to recommend here before I run through mine?
Someone we actually, funny enough, you guys just talked about earlier was Darrell Henderson. I think he's a must start.
I love him this week.
He's a good price. He's facing the Lions.
Yep.
He catches passes. They're creative with them. They're just creative with the running backs in general. They made Malcolm Brown good, for God's sakes, right? So Darrell Henderson for like 6,600 and Darrell Williams against Tennessee for 58 are the two that I really like that are kind of like smash plays for their price.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like both of those. So I'm going with, you know, here's my stack here. I'm going with Murray and Hopkins versus Houston, 8,500 and 7,700. I mean, this one's kind of obvious. Playing Houston, they stink. And then, I mean, I know you could go away from Hopkins pretty easily at that price because he hasn't been living up to that value. But this is a bit of a revenge game for Hopkins. I think he still is like, why did I get traded? Not that he cares because that team stinks, but like it's a bit of a shock, right? He came out being like, what the hell? It was weird. So I think he wants to shove it to Houston pretty bad. And I think they'll figure out a way to get him the ball there. I like Rodgers and Adams as well. 75 to 8,900 versus Washington. Second most allowed of receivers. Most of quarterbacks. I think they're just going to eat Mahomes, Kelsey, and or Hill. You're not going to be able to get all three of them, but, you know, I guess or is what I should have said. 8,400, 8,600, and 7,600 versus Tennessee. We just already mentioned earlier how teams are just destroying them. That D is just awful. King Henry is an obvious one. Goddard, to me, 4,600. It's a bit of a value. I mean, for tight end, it's not much of a value. There's definitely guys below him, but 4,600 for Goddard, where he is now the lone tight end in Philly, feels like he should be higher priced. I like Waddle versus Atlanta. And then you mentioned the Rams. Stafford and Kupp is who I like as well. So 71 and 84 against Detroit. Detroit hasn't been terrible against the pass, but I just feel like Stafford also wants to go out there and be like, hey, look what you're missing, guys.
he's effortless, man, the way he plays. He looks like he's not even trying sometimes.
He'll be fun.
A reincarnation of the Thanksgiving game that Detroit decimated Philly. Like Stafford was just like, oh, okay, I'm not even looking touchdown, you know, touchdown. That game sucked to watch, but you're pretty drunk that day, so I guess it was good. going back real quick to the injuries, Tyreek Hill is not practicing again due to quad.
Oh yeah, here's a quad.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, be careful with that one before you start him in DFS for 8,600. That'd be bad.
Yeah. So that's what I was getting at because I saw the Mahomes, Kelsey.
I think Kelsey is. Oh, Hill's 76. Sorry. I think Kelsey's also dealing with a bit of an injury too. But,
yeah, he also took a hand injury last week. Like, helmet to the hand.
I think these guys are all going to be fine though. I think they're going to play. They're just limiting their reps because they don't need them. Let's be honest.
To go off your Stafford pick, I would say Van Jefferson is a very interesting stack.
Yeah, it's a bit of a value stack if you want to do that. Maybe you go get Stafford, Jefferson, and maybe like an Adams and pay up for him or something like that. Like if you just want to get a little stab at all of these, but Yeah. I mean, Cup's just been so good. It's hard to go away from him. Van Jefferson's kind of boom bust. So yes. it's hard to say.
So what about some fades here? What are you looking at for fades, Davis?
Man, fades. That's a little tough one, but guys, I kind of want to watch just because I want to pay for it. It's Kyler Murray is a guy I don't want to pay for at the price. He's like top of the list right now. And with Kyler, have you seen over the last few weeks? He's number one at price, but he doesn't put up number one numbers. Like he either has or he hasn't, you know, or they're very efficient games. And then I could see them sitting him at some point because
but Houston. He hasn't played Houston. He's played the Rams, the Niners, and the Browns the last 3 weeks.
Well, but he beat them so efficiently. Like it didn't matter. Like, they're not going to rack up. I don't think they're going to run up the score. They don't have to. Like they've been winning in so many different ways. Yeah. They've been winning with James Conner getting 2 touchdowns, things like that. So
that's
true. I think Kyler Murray might be that.
I just wonder I kind of have your same sentiment about that. And the only reason why I put him in my stacks was because of Hopkins. And because I wonder if Hopkins is in their ear, like, get me the damn ball.
Like, yeah, but
figure this out.
Sidney Murray doesn't mean anything to Hopkins, in my opinion. Like, Hopkins can still have 8 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown. But, like, a touchdown, 120 yards for a quarterback means literally nothing in some cases.
I get it.
Yeah.
I just think Houston's atrocious. So, yeah. Like, I don't know. When he does play bad offenses, he puts up points, man, like Minnesota in week one, 38. And I don't know. I
would just say
that's not my favorite stack. I will say I don't hate going off of Murray. I do like some of the other stacks better.
I think
Hopkins is one of those, like, you know, if you want Hopkins, you can go get Murray pretty easily and figure some other things out. But yeah, I don't hate that fade. I really don't.
I think for me, it's not that I don't want Murray. It's just the pricing, right? I think there's a lot of teams that have.
He is the highest priced quarterback. You're right.
Yeah, it's all tough. It's just pricing, you know. I like Aaron Rodgers against Washington. That seems like a really funny one too. Or Lamar Jackson against Cincinnati, or Stafford against Detroit. Like, and they're like a grand to a grand and a half less. That's a lot of money.
Yep.
Yeah. So a couple of fades we got here. Gibson, we already talked about, obviously dealing with the stress fracture. He's only at 5,900, but I'd rather spend that money elsewhere. Julio, even if he does play, still 6,100.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen this before with Julio and hamstrings. No thanks. McLaurin, also hamstring. Hasn't really been great this season. We already touched on that. And I mean, he's still 6,900, so no thanks. Miles Sanders at 5,100. I mean, he could be at $3,000, and I'm not playing him because the Eagles coach doesn't understand that there's a third dimension to your team called running the ball.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, dude.
No,
not at all.
Miles Sanders is the back blocker. That's what he is. That's all he
does. Yeah, makes no sense. It's like, hey, we're gonna change your name to Michael Orr, and we're gonna call Sandra Bullock, and we're gonna make a new movie called The Other Blind Side, and you're gonna be the star, Miles. You're gonna be the star.
All right, so let's move on here to our value plays, and these guys, you know, at the lower end of their position, who you are looking to target in most of your, especially like cash lineups here. Davis, you got any guys that you've got listed here?
Yeah, you know, I already mentioned Van Jefferson. He's just a guy I think that gets lost. He can get lost in the backfield for some crappy 90-yard throw. CJ Uzomah is still only 3K. I find that kind of funny. I think that's someone that gets a lot of love. And I, you know, we joked about it in preseason that I was like, I'm probably the only guy that talks about CJ Uzomah like at all. He's actually kind of paying out.
He had that one monster game. Other than that, it's kind of been ho hum. So, but yeah, I mean, I looked at him, but it's,
you know, he's got five.
Baltimore's not great against tight ends, so I feel you.
He gets targets, and that's all I care about.
2 and 3 targets the last 2 weeks against.
Just gets lost in the backfield, and that's how I see it. And then another guy I kind of want to have interest in is Sterling Shepard. I think is kind of a value. He's at 56. But for the guy that's the last person on his team, the last on the weekends, like he gets 11, 12, 13, 14 targets a game. And I think I just want that. Like, yeah, screw sorry, it at I that keep, point.
Sorry, I keep looking to the left here to see if Denver's going to score because, yes, they just did. Sorry, I know I'm a little ahead of you guys. Is that Javonte Williams?
No, Melvin Gordon.
Little screen pass.
That's good.
Tim Patrick missed a back shoulder throw earlier. That would have been a touchdown to salvage a crappy day for him.
He still caught it. It just was out of bounds.
Yeah.
Here is my value guy.
No. I like those. So I'm going to start here with, and like this one is sort of like, just because we're dealing with bye week hell and there's not a lot of options and you're probably going to have to pay down somewhere and just kind of pray. Devonta Freeman, 4,000. This is only if Latavius Murray is actually out. I kind of do think Freeman's going to get the majority of the carries for whatever that means. He looked slightly better than everybody else in that backfield last week outside of Latavius Murray. So I think, you know, that's a way you could go. I do like Michael Carter slightly too at 46 against New England. I mean, he has taken over the backfield for whatever that means as well. again, the back end running backs are awful this week. So if you need to pay down a running back, these are two guys that you can do it for and just kind of hope. I'll tell you, and this is a guy that we talked about early before the show, and I guess you left it for me. Thank you, Davis. Darnell Mooney against Tampa Bay, 4,600. Chicago's probably going to have to pass quite a bit in this game. And Tampa's defense is not Tampa's defense from last season. They've led up the fifth most points to wide receivers, and Mooney's been good. And so I don't understand why Mooney's still at 46. I think he should be priced way higher than this. So Mooney is going to be a guy who's probably, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think questionable is a new probable at this point.
I know, right? Well, like, it doesn't even matter anymore.
But I do feel like it somehow affects
price. I don't think it does, man. I just don't think it's really caught up yet. I think, I mean, he hasn't crushed it every week, but like, he's been off and on, you know, the last couple of weeks, 21, 6, and 15. He's seeing more and more targets in this offense and producing way more than the other guy who we don't want to mention anymore because I'm tired of talking about him.
The target share is there, and I agree with you. 8, 5, 7, 4, 8. Like, that's fine. Like, it's exactly what you want for a low
4,600, and especially against a bad defense.
And he's a guy that gets lost in the backfield all the time. Like, they just, when he gets the ball, we're like, who got it? And it's like a small guy coming out from the corner out of the shadows.
He can get some deep passes too, so it's pretty good. I kind of like Bateman this week. 3,400 still. Saw 6 targets more than his countermate, Brown, there. Going against Cincy. And, yeah, they're solid. They're pretty solid. But, look, I think that just means that the Ravens aren't going to trounce their opponent like they did last week, which I was very shocked about. And so they're going to go back to this passing game that they've been relying on more and more, more than I think anybody thought. Bateman could see way more than 6, and he could outvalue 3,400 in a heartbeat. Look, do I think he's going to score 25 points? No. But could he score 15, 12, and hit value and then some? Absolutely. And that's what you need for somebody who's 3,400. And then my last guy here is Ricky Seals-Jones. You know, we mentioned that he's kind of banged up, but I think he's going to play against Green Bay. Like, 3,700 is dirt cheap still at this point for tight end. And I see no reason why not to make him the guy that you're plugging in your lineup. Outside of Goddard and Kelsey, it's probably going to be, if I want to go high, it's Kelsey. If it's in between, it's Goddard. If it's cheap, it's Jones. Those are my three. That's probably it for tight end for me this week.
That's perfect, yeah.
So, yeah. All right, man. I think that's it we've got for the show, Davis. Before we let you go, I want to let you let everybody know where they can find you on the internet and what you got going on.
You can find me at PangsPicksFF on Twitter. As Joe says, I do videos and I do content once in a while, but I do a lot of videos. You can also find me at new shows on Friday with the Run Boys. I do that with Robbie and a few others. It's a shared show. I hop on that every Friday and Sunday.
Ah, nice.
And then you can also catch me on Sports Me if you ever just want to battle out some items. I'm also on the Sports Me app too.
Nice, man. All right. Awesome. Thanks for joining us tonight. It was great talking to you, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Of course.
Well, yeah. All right, man. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. So, yeah. So we will close it out there. We're about an hour and a half. So we are looking at a 17-14 game with 4:40 left here. Browns got the ball near in midfield, it looks like. So, looking like a pretty good finish here. So,
yeah, could be.
Not the best fantasy game, but, you know, at least it's a decent football game, I guess. You know, as far as at least Oh,
man.
Uh-oh.
Oh. I think I'm still a play behind you.
Yeah, you are. Dearness Johnson is looking good. So, all right, guys. Yeah. That's it for the show. We will talk to you next week. And on that note, peace.